Started. So we're going to start from the beginning of the Masechta, from the Mishnah on Beis Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah says, Beitza shenolda biyom tov, beshama yomrim tochal, veselal omrim lo socha. So we start out with a machlokas, beshama, veselal. This is going to be the one machlokas in the Mishnah that's actually relevant to our Gemara. We'll see two other machlokas that are a little bit more tangential. There's a machlokas regarding whether one is permitted to eat an egg that was laid or hatched on Yontif. Beshama says it's permissible. Veselal says it's a problem. Again, we'll see in the Gemara what the issue is. Beshama yomrim soor bechazayas, hachamitz bechako seves, veselal omrim zeveze bechazayas. We have a second machlokas, which is completely irrelevant to the general context of the Mishnah, but it just is mentioned tangentially. It's just another example where Beis Shammai is lenient, Beis Hillel is machmir, which is that according to Beis Shammai, he distinguishes between the minimum shear for which one violates Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh. He says when it comes to Seor, which is basically either yeast, leaven, or chametz, which is inedible, you violate the Yisr Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh with a kezayis, whereas with chametz proper, which you would eat, the shear according to Beis Shammai is only violated for Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh at a kosevis, the size of a date, whereas Beis Hillel say no, that both the Seor and Chametz, you violate Bal Yirah, Bal Yimatzeh with the Shear of a Kezayis. And then finally, a third machlokes, Hashokhi Chayav Va'of B'yom Tov, B'shamay Omrim Yachbor, B'deker V'yachaseh, V'sil Omrim Lo Yishchod, Ela Imken Hayo Lo Afar Muchan Mi Ba'od Yom. So we know that Me'ikar Adin, one is permitted to shecht on yantif. It's ochel nefesh. For technical reasons, we don't do that bazman hazeh, but in theory, you are allowed to shecht on yantif. The problem is, if you're going to shecht a chaya or an oaf, a wild animal or a bird, so we know that the halacha requires you to do kisui hadam, right? You have to cover the blood of a chaya or an oaf. So the problem is that presumably the dirt that you're going to use to cover that blood is going to be muktzeh. Again, the Gemara is going to discuss this later on. So the question is, are you allowed to shecht a chaya and an oaf, knowing in the back of your head that you're going to have to do kisui hadam? So Beis Shammai says it's not a problem. He says, all you have to do, he says, you can take a shovel, you dig in the ground, do kisui hadam, it's not an issue on yantif. However, Beis Hillel say that you're only allowed to do kisui, you can only shecht if you already designated the dirt in advance to be used for kisui hadam. Otherwise, it's going to be muktza. And the Mishnah says, umodim she'im shachat, she'yachbor bedeker v'yachaseh, she'efer kira muchanu. However, everyone, even Beis Hillel agree that if you went ahead and shechted the chay and the oaf anyway on yantif, that you can do kisui hadam. Why is that? So the Mishnah gives this very kind of a vague phrase, which the Gemara later on explains, that efer kira muchanu, that the ashes of a stove are considered designated. And again, we're not going to get into this right now because the Gemara later on discusses what that means. Okay, so the Gemara now asks, b'maya skinan, what's the case of the Mishnah? If the case of the Mishnah is talking about a chicken that lays egg, I'm sorry, a chicken that's meant for eating, so then why would Beis Hillel say that you're not allowed to eat a beitza shenol de biyantif? It's uchla de ifras. It's basically just an extension of the chicken. The same way that I'm allowed to eat chicken on yantif, it's ochel nefesh, of course I'm allowed to prepare the food on yantif, so why can't I eat the egg that was laid on yantif? It's just an extension of the food that I'm allowed to eat anyway. On the other hand, if the chicken is a type of a chicken that's meant, that's designated specifically for laying eggs, so then the chicken itself is mukta, and the egg should be mukta, and why would Beis Shammai allow you to eat such an egg? So now the Gemara pushes back. Umay kushya, dilma Beis Shammai leis lo mukta. The Gemara questions this whole premise here. Maybe Beis Shammai deny the entire principle of mukta to begin with. Now, this is not such an unfamiliar concept, as we'll see in a second. We've already spoken about this in Maseches Shabbos a lot, where Reb Shimon, as we'll see in a second in the Gemara, denies 99% of hilchos mukta. So it's not such a crazy thing. Maybe Beis Shammai subscribes to the sheet of Reb Shimon. So the Gemara clarifies. Kasalka daitin afilu man deshari b'mukta b'novad asar. So the Gemara takes a step back. Even if you want to say that, you know, mukta doesn't exist, you want to hold like Reb Shimon, who denies most of Hilchos mukta, you could still make the argument that there's a distinction between mukta and nolad. Nolad literally means something which was born, hatched, laid on yantif. So one could make the argument that even if you deny mukta, like Reb Shimon does for the most part, perhaps we still subscribe to nolad. But then the Gemara pushes back further. If that were true, that there's a distinction between mukta and nolad, that even those who deny mukta subscribe to nolad, then why would Beis Shammai allow you to eat the egg? Presumably, he should still subscribe to the issur of nolad, and therefore the Gemara says, nope, I'm a Rav Nachman, la'olam b'sar negoles ha'omedes lagadol beitzim, udi isle mukta isle nolad, udele isle mukta isle nolad, Beis Shammai ki Reb Shimon, uveselo ki Reb Yehuda. The Gemara's answer is, you're right, that really, mukta and nolad are interdependent. They depend on one another. So if you deny mukta, you deny nolad. So in other words, at this stage, the Gemara is convinced that Beis Shammai holds like Reb Shimon, both in terms of denying mukta and also in terms of denying nolad. And that justifies Beis Shammai's position in the Mishnah, and that's exactly why he holds there's nothing wrong with eating this egg on yantif. So now the Gemara is going to question this whole shita. Umi amar Rav Nachman achi, how could Rav Nachman possibly say that Beis Shammai allow you to eat this egg on yantif and Beis Hillel does not? What's the issue? issue. V'hasnan beishamay omer magbiyan me'al hashulchan atzamos uklipin uvesil omer mesalikas atavla kula unara v'amar Rav Nachman anu ein lanu ela beishamay kereb Yehuda uvesil kereb Shimon. There's a machlokas in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, but how to dispose of shells, bones, things of that nature on Shabbos. So the pashup shot in the Mishnah is the following: that beishamay tell you that you're allowed to pick up the individual shells, bones, etc., and throw them in the garbage. Meaning to say, beishamay presumably deny hilchos muktzah, that you can pick up the bones, pick up the shells, not a problem. But Basil disagree. Basil say that you can't do that. The only way to dispose of them is to pick up the whole tablecloth and shake the whole thing out so you don't pick up the individual shells and bones. That's what the Mishnah sounds like. However, Rav Nachman in Masechta Shabbos, and also here, clarifies that really the Shito should be reversed. That really it can't be that Basil say that you have to pick up the tablecloth and Beishama say you could pick up the individual shells and bones. And again, in Masechta Shabbos, he discusses this more at length, but basically he says that really Beishama hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who subscribes to Hilchos Mukta, Beisil hold like Rav Shimon, who denies Hilchos Mukta, and therefore you have to reverse the Shitos in the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. Now, if Rav Nachman is so convinced that the Shitos in Masechta Shabbos have to be reversed, so then presumably the Shitos in our Mishnah don't line up. Because in our Mishnah in Beitza, it sounds like Beis Hillel is the one who's Machmir, who's telling you not to eat the seg, meaning he does subscribe to Mukta and Nolad, whereas in Masechta Shabbos, Rav Nachman's conclusion was that he denies it, and vice versa for Beis Shammai. So how does Rav Nachman resolve this apparent contradiction? So the Gemara says, no, Amar Lecha Rav Nachman, Gabi Shabbos, this saw some lantana kereb Shimu. This non mechaskin is adiluin lifnea behima viasan avila lifnea clovim, mokim lala vesilo kereb Shimon. Aval Gabi Yomtov, this saw some lantana kereb Yehuda, this non, in mevakin itzim in akoro, salom in akoro, shenish brab Yomtov, mokim lala vesilo kereb Yehuda. The Gemara gives the following distinction. The Gemara explains that basically you have to look at the context of Masechta Shabbos versus Masechta Beitza. Throughout Masechta Shabbos, we get the impression that many of the Mishnayos and Masechta Shabbos are following along the lines of Rab Shimon, who basically denies Mukta. How does the Gemara know that? So there's a mission at the end of Masechta Shabbos that says that one is permitted to cut gourds, right, like pumpkins to feed to your animals on Shabbos, and not only that, you could take the carcass of a dead animal and chop it up to feed to your dog. So the fact that you're allowed to do that on Shabbos obviously means that we're not subscribing to Mukta, because a dead animal carcass is not usable for human beings, so by definition it's going to be Mukta. So the fact that I'm allowed to, that the Mishnah says in Shabbos, I could chop up the carcass and feed it to my dogs, obviously means that we're denying Mukta. So since the Mishnayos and Masechta Shabbos seem to be denying basically Hilchos Mukta, therefore we say in Masechta Shabbos that Beis Hillel subscribes to that line of reasoning. In contrast, we have a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Beitza on Daf Lamed Aleph that seems to give you the opposite impression. The end of Masechta Beitza, the Mishnah says that one is not permitted to take, let's say, a beam of wood that you're using in your house and chop it up for firewood. Now, the only reason why that would be a problem on Yontif is if, presumably, you subscribe to Hilchos Mukta. So since the Mishnayos in Beitza seem to be buying into Mukta, and in Shabbos they seem to be denying it, so essentially we're lining up Beis Hillel with whatever the theme of the Masechta is. So Shabbos, we seem to be denying Mukta, so Beis Hillel will also deny Mukta. In Beitza, we seem to be buying into Mukta, so Beis Hillel is also buying into it. Now, there's an obvious problem with this, which is Michti manstame lemasnisin Rebbe. Maishna b'Shabbos desasamlem kereb Shimon, u'maishna b'yomtiv desasamlem kereb Yehuda. There's a textual or stylistic problem with this, which is that we know that Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi was the author of all of the Mishnai. So this seems to be a very arbitrary distinction, meaning either you buy into Mukta or you deny Mukta. So how come in Masechta Shabbos we're always denying Hilchos Mukta, and all of a sudden in Masechta Beitza we're buying into it? It's the same Tana, it's the same Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi who authored all these Mishnayos. Why would he draw such an arbitrary distinction? So the Gemara explains, Amrei Shabbos tachamira velo asi lezalzuleba sasamon kereb Shimon demekel. Yom tov tekil v'asi lezalzulebe sasamon kereb Yehuda demachmir. The Gemara says that there's actually a reason to make such a distinction, which is that Shabbos, because Shabbos is so much more chumer than Yontif, right, there's a chi of skila for violating Shabbos. So because people understand the severity of Shabbos, they're less likely to be mezalzel on Shabbos. Okay, so we're entitled to rely and Rav Shimon. In other words, even if you deny Mukta, we don't think you're going to start to be mezalzel in Shabbos. Whereas Yontif, there's a higher probability that you may come to be mezalzel in Yontif. We have to reinforce the Indian of Mukta. And that's why we make this distinction between Masechta Shabbos and Masechta Beitza. Okay, then the Gemara asks, B'mayo kimta, b'sar negola sa'omedes l'gadol beitza mumisho Mukta. So again, as the Gemara earlier noted, the context of the Mishnah was discussing a chicken that was specifically designated for laying eggs, and the reason why Beis Hillel say that such an egg is a problem on Yontif is a Mukta issue, because if the chicken is meant for laying eggs, it's not meant for eating, and therefore it's going to be Mukta. So but the Gemara now asks, Ihachi So instead of formulating the machlokas in the Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as being one that revolves around the status of the egg of a beitza shenolda, why doesn't the Mishnah present it in the case of a tarnagolas? In other words, if the Gemara just got through explaining to us that the case is that it's talking about a chicken that's designated for laying eggs, why didn't the Mishnah present the machlokas in that regard? Why don't it talk about an egg? So the Gemara says, no, lo hodiacha kochen de Beis Shammai devenolat sharei. Perhaps the Mishnah wanted to highlight how lenient Beis Shammai was. That as we already noted earlier, Beis Shammai seems to deny not only muktza but even nolat. So he's assuming that everything is mutter here, and therefore the Mishnah, by mentioning the case of a beitza shenolda, was highlighting the leniency of Beis Shammai. To which the Gemara then asks, v'lefluge besar negolas lo hodiacha kochen de Beis Hillel devamukta asrei. Okay, so why not present the case of the chicken designated for laying eggs, and that would highlight the severity or the stringency of Shitas Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, no. This is a famous principle that appears in several places in Shas called Koach Tehetera Adif, which literally means that the power of the lenient opinion is always preferable. Meaning to say, the Mishnah, in other words, maybe you'll argue that the Mishnah would rather highlight the lenient opinion, the bigger Chiddush, the Kula, as opposed to the Chumr. That's why we want to highlight Dafka Bishamai Shita. But even if that were true, says the Gemara, Viniflog Bisra. You can still get your point across by highlighting both cases. In other words, the Mishnah could have said, there's a machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding a chicken who's designated for laying eggs, whether you could eat the chicken as well as the eggs. In other words, you could have gotten both points across. You could have gotten across the leniency of Beis Shammai and the stringency of Beis Hillel. Why wouldn't the Mishnah do that? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ella amaraba la'olam bisar negoles ha'omedes li'achila. Really, it's what we initially thought. We're talking about a chicken that's really designated for eating. Now, the question is, so if it's designated for eating, what's the issue on Yantif? Isn't it ochel? So the Gemara says, no. This is a very specific case of a yontif that falls on a Sunday. What's the issue with the yontif that falls on a Sunday? It's an issue of hachana. How on earth is this an issue of hachana? So the Gemara explains, because Rabba called Beitza Demisialda Ha'idna Me'esmol Gamrala. Rabba has a very, very unique shita that when an egg was laid or hatched today, that basically means that it was fully fertilized yesterday. Again, I don't know what the science behind that is, but that's what he assumes. Now, if that were true, and Yantif is on a Sunday, that means that the egg was fertilized on Shabbos. Now, even though this is a natural, God-driven hachana, then it's nothing to do with us, nonetheless, it still qualifies as hachana. The same way that you're not allowed, again, we'll talk a lot of this later on with Erev Tavshilin, that technically you're not allowed to prepare, right? In other words, we know you can't prepare on Shabbos for Yontif. This is a natural preparation of the egg on Shabbos that you now want to use on Yontif. So according to Rabba, this is actually, using this beitza might actually be an Isser d'Oraisa, potentially. Rabba, as the Gemara in Masech Shabbos points out, may hold that hachana is a problem mida oraisa. So because the egg was fertilized on Shabbos and today is now yontif on Sunday, Rabba holds that there's a problem, perhaps even mida oraisa, with using this egg. Now, how does Rabba know that there's such a thing called hachana? So the Gemara explains, v'Rabba l'tamei,
de'amar Rabba. What's the problem of using the egg based on hachana?
Well, that's what the Gemara is about to explain right now. The Gemara is about to explain that right now. V'Rabba l'tamei, de'amar Rabba, may dechsev v'haya b'yom hashishi v'heichinu es asher yaviu, chol mechin l'shabbos v'chol mechin l'yomtov. So Rabba derives from this pasuk in Parshas Beshalach regarding the man that Bnei Yisrael went out on Friday to gather the man. You see from here that you're only allowed to prepare for Shabbos or Yontif on a weekday. You can't prepare on Shabbos for Yontif, you can't prepare on Yontif for Shabbos. Again, we'll get into the whole Erev Tashilin thing later in the Masechta, but Meikar Adin, you're not allowed to prepare, certainly not on Shabbos for Yontif, and even not on Yontif for Shabbos. So you see from here that there is such a thing of called Achana. Again, even though it's a very strange kind of Achana, you're not doing anything. The egg was naturally fertilized on Shabbos, but because of that, therefore, you're not allowed to use it on the next day, on Sunday, on Yontif. Now, there's an obvious problem with this, which is the Gemara's next question. This is a very limiting answer, because this answer is essentially telling us that the whole Isser of a Beitza Shenolda only applies if Yontif falls on a Sunday. If Yontif falls on any other day of the week, then the whole Isser is out the window. So the Gemara says, you're right. Gzeira Mishum Yontif Achar HaShabbos. That should have been the case. But we're going to impose a gzeira that on even on a regular yontif that's not on a Sunday, it's usher as a gzeira, because maybe the next time yontif is on a Sunday, you're going to forget and you're going to think that it's mutter. So then the Gemara says, okay, Shabbos da alma tishrei. What about on Shabbos? Let's say you have a beitza shenolda b'Shabbos. So l'chora, the isra should also be out the window. So the Gemara says, you're right, gzeira mishum Shabbos achar yontif, the same type of a gzeira. Let's say yontif was on a, let's say the last day of yontif was on a Friday and it runs right into Shabbos. So you have the same problem. If the egg was fertilized on Friday and it was hatched on a Shabbos, so even though on a regular Shabbos, there should be nothing wrong with the Beitza Shenolda because it was fertilized on Friday on a weekday where there's no Hachana issue. But in the one crazy case where Yontif ends on a Friday, therefore we have to make a Gzera that on every single Shabbos, a Beitza is going to be Usher as well. To which the Gemara then asks, Umi Gazrina, do we invoke such types of Gzeros? The Hasanya, we have a Tosefta, which the Gemara quotes a little bit later on. Hashochides Atarnegolas Umatza Babitzim Gemuros Mutarus LaAchlan Biyomta. The Tosefta tells us, let's say you shech the chicken, and you find fully fertilized eggs inside of that chicken. So, and again, this is on Yontif, obviously. The Tosefta says that one is permitted to eat those eggs on Yontif, meaning to say they're not mukta. But the question is, v'im isa ligzar mishum hanachta misyaldan biyomehen. If we're so concerned about all these gzeros that we just cited about, don't eat a beitza on Yontif because maybe it'll be on a Sunday. Don't eat it on Shabbos because maybe Yontif will end on a Friday. So why don't we make a gzera here too and say, well, you can't eat the eggs that you found inside of the chicken after you shechted it because maybe they were fully fertilized on Shabbos or on Yontif, and that would be a problem. To which the Gemara says, no, Amar Le, Beitzim Gemuros B'mei Iman Milsa Delo Shchichai, U'Milsa Delo Shchichai Lo Gazru Barabanan. It's highly improbable, it's highly unlikely that you're going to shech the chicken, open it up, and find fully fertilized eggs. It's almost unheard of, and that's what the Gemara refers to as a Milsa Delo Shchichai, something which is uncommon. Chazal don't make Gzeros about, so there was never a Gzera imposed about such a case. Now, the Gemara gives a totally different approach, a totally different reason as to why a Beitzah Shenolda B'Yontif is a problem. Rav Yosef Amar The reason why you're not allowed to eat Beitza Shenolda B'Yontif, according to Beis Hillel at least, is as a gzera of fruit that fell off a tree. What does that mean? Amar Le Abaye, Peros Hanoshen Taimamai. What's the issue in general on a regular Shabbos or Yontif with eating fruit that falls off a tree? Gzera Shema Yalav Yislosh. Now, we know, of course, you can't pluck fruit off a tree on Shabbos. That's Malach of Kotzer, but there's even a gzera Derabana. You can't eat fruit that fell by itself off the tree, because if we let you eat that, we're afraid that you may come to climb the tree and pluck the fruit yourself, which would be a Malach of Kotzer. So the Gemara asks, He Gufa Gzera Va'ana Neko V'Nigzer Gzera L'Gzera. The whole Isser of Peros HaNoshrin to begin with is only a Gzera Derabanan. So you're going to now tell me that Beitza Shenolda B'Yontif is Usser as a Gzera of Peros HaNoshrin. That's usually what we call a Gzera L'Gzera. You usually can't have a Gzera Derabanan that's two steps removed from the De'oraisa. To which the Gemara says, no, Kulachad Gzera. It's all part of the same Gzera. Beitza Shenolda B'Yontif, Peros HaNoshrin, it's all part of the same story. And therefore, Rav Yosef justifies this Isser as saying it's a Derabanan. It's all included in the Derabanan of Peros HaNoshrin.